Beats the Band by Joyce Porter. Dramatized for radio by Paul Mendelson.
March 14th, 1976. From Sergeant Charles McGregor, New Scotland Yard. Application for transfer number 294. I had thought that after working for Chief Inspector Wilfred Dover for so many long and wasted years, that nothing about him would surprise me. But I hadn't reckoned on the case of the body in the Didcaster dump.
Bloody hellfire. What a terrible way to end up, eh, Sergeant?
Ah, you're right, sir.
Stuck in a stinking rubbish dump in the arse end of nowhere on a cold winter's evening. All ambitions and dreams totally dead.
I know. Gruesome, isn't it?
Ruddy tragic, I'll call it.
It's just a stroke of luck the workmen here found him. Tomorrow he'd be under another ton of fresh rubbish.
Aye? What are you talking about?
The body, sir.
Oh, him? I was talking about me. I should have been a chief superintendent by now.
Chief Inspector!
Oh, hello. Here comes the local waller. Acting pressed, McGregor, and he'll buy us a drink.
Inspector Telford, Didcaster CID. So, Chief Inspector, you can see our dilemma.
Living in a hole like this? What do you mean, the fact the victim's naked and rendered totally unrecognisable?
Somebody didn't want him identified.
Oh, there's no fooling these chaps, is there, McGregor?
No, sir. Judging by the marks around his neck, Inspector, it looks like he's been strangled.
By a cord or a thin rope. We're reckoning the murder was committed elsewhere.
Why's that, sir?
Hard to kill someone when you're both up to your necks in tin cans and potato peelings, eh, Inspector?
Exactly.
Well, of course I realise that. Any idea how long he's been dead?
The doctor thought weeks rather than days. Months, even.
Fingerprints?
On what, exactly?
On the flaming corpse, what do you think?
Round the neck, you mean?
Not round the neck, you loony. On his hands, his fingers. You are checking them, aren't you?
Oh, yes, of course. There is just one, thing.
Hurry up, I'm starving, and standing around in the cold is giving this corner mine proper jip.
There's a go slow at Central Fingerprint Bureau. Something about overtime rates. Could be a good few days.
Struth, the lack of commitment these days. It's almost criminal.
The deceased was an overweight, middle-aged man, aged at about 45. Cause of death, strangled. Time of death, 4 to 8 weeks. No dental evidence. Not a tooth left in his head.
Thought you were supposed to have found something new.
Ah.
Anyone got a fang?
This is a mortuary, Chief Inspector.
It's not going to bother them, is it? Any chance of a cup of it?
I've asked the girl to bring in some tea.
Have you said pastries as well?
I'd like to clear up the matter of the burns to the head and face.
Oh, go on then.
Petrol. Lighter fluid, probably.
Was that it then?
Not quite. I did find this in his stomach.
What the hell is that?
It looks like a blue sugar cube.
Or a bead or something.
Mm. There's a protuberance on one side and a small socket in the other.
A puppet! Yeah. My daughter used to have a necklace made out of them.
may I take a look, Doctor?
Yes.
Here we are, then. Oh. How many of you are there?
Ah, Sandra. Your tea, Chief Inspector.
And a bun. Biscuits. Well, have to do.
Look, there's some wee letters stamped on it.
Oh. What are you on about?
On this bead thing, see? RHR 25. Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
Right in my train.
I'll fit it out for you. Here.
Oh, thanks. So, what do these letters mean?
No idea.
It's funny money.
What? Sorry, Sandra?
Funny money.
We're not deaf, pal. What's it for?
Haven't you ever been to an holiday camp?
Oh, a holiday camp?
They make you use these beads instead of money. When you want to pay for extras, you know, drinks and stuff.
What's wrong with real money?
It stops the staff getting light-fingered, I suppose. Oh, you can disguise the price of things. Let's have a gander.
Here.
R-H-R. Oh, This could be from Rankin's Holiday Ranches, couldn't it?
Oh, yes, I suppose it could. Well done, you. But what was it doing in a dead man's stomach?
Don't suppose you found any other foreign bodies inside him? Like an identity bracelet?
No, just this. Thank you, Sandra. It was all mixed up with the last meal he had. Thank you, Sandra. You can go now.
Bye.
Leave the trolley. What was the last meal then, Doc?
Venison.
A bit unusual for a holiday camp.
Could do with a nice bit of venison right now. A big portion of chips. Anyone wanting that wagon wheel?
Pull!
Oh, good shot, Sir Egbert.
Oh, good shot, Sir Egbert.
Bloody daft way to spend a morning smashing bits of crockery out of the sky.
Better than real pigeons, sir. And I suppose if you're a big tycoon like Sir Egbert Rankin, you need your relaxation.
Pull!
Oh, excellent.
Okay, gentlemen. Well, I can tell you right now, there's no connection between your murder and my holiday ranches. We don't go in for that sort of thing. Never have done.
But these tokens can only be used in your holiday camps. RHR.
Holiday ranches. Pull!
Bravo.
Unless, of course, it's a forgery.
Forgery? They'd like to forge them, wouldn't they? Scum. No, we manufacture to the highest possible standard.
So it is yours, then. See how I did that, McGregor?
Well, I admit it's a possibility, but that don't prove a thing.
Could I have a wee go, sir, with the gun?
No.
Oh, okay. Could this token be used in any of your camps?
They're ranches. No, we give each holiday ranch its own individual set. Pull! Oh.
No.
Damn, who would you make me do?
Oh, sorry. So, you can pinpoint where this bead was in use?
It'll cost you.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
No publicity. Stomachs, corpses, rubbish dumps, not good for our image.
Well, I'm sure we can be discreet.
Listen, Sir Edgar, or whatever your name is, if you don't come up with the goods, we'll tell the press the victim was killed trying to escape, sir.
Well, it's blue, which begins with a B, so off the top of my head, it's either from Boaville by the Sea or Bunton Beaches. Oh, no, Bunton was condemned. Boaville it is.
Where the hell's Boaville?
Northumberland, Lake District, somewhere up there. Pool! Ah! Caught me a real one.
Do you have many holidaymakers at Boaville in November?
There's OAPs, God bless them. Oh, and conferences. That's where we make the big money.
Take over the old place, do they?
Please God. But there's little ones too, you know. Toy collectors, folk dancing, women's livers, daft stuff like that. I'll do special rates for coffee.
Come on, McGregor, we've got what we want. And you need to get me some fags.
Could I maybe just hold the gun for a second, Sir Edward? Please, just feel the trigger, you know, between...
Be my guest.
Oh, McGregor!
Perhaps another time.
I must say, sir, it's very decent of the Holiday Ranch to offer us a night's accommodation.
Oh, come on, somebody! Looks like a blooming prison.
No, that's probably just a barbed wire.
Oh, you must be the Scotland Yard, lads. I'm Captain Maguire. Tiller, tiller! Don't worry, gentlemen, you wouldn't hurt a fly. No sudden moves, mind.
Is the bar still open?
A man after my own heart, eh, Chief Inspector? Important things first. This way to the High Chaparral Lounge.
Yeah, I think it might be a good idea if you started by showing us around the ranch.
That's what the man is doing. Bar's part of the ranch, isn't it? Very hard, I would say. My apologies, Captain. He's still a bit wet behind the ears.
We'll start him on lager. Got some whiskey for you, David. It'll blow your head off.
Yeah.
Come on, Attila. And you can't eat any more holiday makers till breakfast time.
I'll take it all back, McGregor. This is my type of place. I know it seems glamorous, Derek. Chief Inspector, Scotland Yard, scourge of criminals, champion of justice. But it's ruddy hard graft and the money's rubbish.
Well, you just relax, Wolfie, and have another glass of jockstrap number 8. How's your lager, Charlie?
It's Sergeant McGregor, and it's fine, thank you, Captain. So, this funny money is definitely yours, is it?
It's a giggle.
Sorry?
an ounce worth 25 titters. And 5 giggles equals 1 snigger. It's what we call the currency here. Makes it more fun to spend.
And they don't know how much they're spending.
Got it in one old son. Of course, if they do complain, they get a dose of Attila, and then they're as sweet as pie. Hey, Attila?
Can I just show you this picture, Captain McGuire?
Hey? Oh, dear God.
McGregor, you don't show a man a picture of a dead fella when he just bought you a drink. Sorry, Dale.
This is a murder inquiry, sir.
So?
That's all right, Sergeant. I saw worse in Korea. But surely you can't expect me to recognise him from that. Anyway, I never think of holidaymakers as human beings.
Middle-aged, 5'8", a bit overweight.
Oh, come on.
Let me, laddie. Got any crisps?
Doris, crisps for our guests.
First off, anyone gone missing from your staff round about a couple of months ago?
Not that I can think of, Will.
Guess then. Anyone leave in suspicious circumstances?
No. Hey, why hasn't his wife reported him missing?
And she probably cloaked him. Flaming wild goose chase, knew it would be.
Maybe we should start with the people who were staying here about 4 to 8 weeks ago.
It's going to put my staff to hell of a lot of trouble, Sergeant.
Absolutely. Cheese and onion are excellent. Mm. So what's on the menu tonight for supper?
Doris, menu for the Ponderosa room. I can see you're a good trencherman.
Bit of venison go down well with some chips.
Venison?
The post-mortem revealed that the dead man had eaten some venison shortly before he was killed.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Doris, dig out the bill for that venison we got our hands on sometime in January.
See, cracked it again. Do it without thinking sometime. Oh, dear, my glass is empty.
Enjoy your scoff, Wilfie.
Yes, please. Very good.
It's what I get for myself and the lady wife. We don't give it to the punters. How's your salad, Sergeant?
Terrific, thank you. So, this venison...
Oh, yeah. My butcher offered me a few pounds at a very reasonable rate. Well, it was either that or have the stuff go rotten on him. Here, this joker of yours didn't die of food poisoning, did he?
Strangled.
Thank God for that.
So you're saying that on one specific Saturday, you served venison to your staff and the holidaymakers?
Catch my stuff eating that muck. Anyway, I brought the files.
In your own time, Derek. Fella will still be dead in the morning.
Light it. Now, let's see. Yeah, January 17th. Well, looks like mostly OAPs that weekend.
Our chap wasn't an OAP.
Oh, well, there were a few others here too. Groups, actually. Yeah, look, two groups. Ladies Sodality from Whittle. No, they're too old.
And the other one?
The Dockery Society. Let's see now. They're on sec rope to us. Here. Booked 4 adjacent bunkhouses. That's like chalets, only tattier. All in Bonanza Square. Quite self-contained, secluded like. 7 people in all. 2 to each bunkhouse. Plus an extra room to hold their meetings in.
Right, Derek. Now, I've got a question.
Fire away, Dover of the Yard. You lob, I'll volley.
What do you do for pudding?
Are you sure this is a good idea, McGregor?
Oh, absolutely, sir. Walking barefoot in the sea before breakfast is meant to be a miracle cure for corns. My old granny used to swear by it. Must be the salt. So, what did you glean from seeing those rooms, sir?
Which rooms?
The ones we saw after supper with Captain Maguire, where the Doctor's Society stayed.
Oh, those. 4 chalets, couple of beds in each. A room in one of them used for meetings? Big deal.
Must have been a member of the Doctor's Society whose body we found in the dump. I wonder what they do, this group.
Didn't it say in the letter, ritual killing, new members welcome?
Oh, hold on, sir. If our man deliberately swallowed that beet to lead us here, then he must have known he was going to be killed and had some time to think about it. Poor guy.
Poor guy? What about poor me? I don't think this splashing about is doing my corn any good at all. I want my breakfast.
We can have it on the train.
Yeah, okay. What train?
The one we're taking to meet Rupert Pettit.
Who the bleeding hell's Rupert Pettit?
He's the on secretary of the Dockery Society. Lives at Kempton Park. The letter, remember?
Oh, expecting us, is he?
No, sir.
Then he won't be disappointed if we don't turn up.
Sir. number 11, number 13, number 15. Ah, this must be the one. Oh, no.
What is it?
Well, nothing.
McGregor?
Well, look at the brass plates that are outside the house.
What? There is a god.
What on earth are you doing, Chief Inspector?
Taking my shoe off. Isn't it obvious?
But you've come here on police business.
Yeah, but you're a radish, you rubbish, isn't you? No point just sitting here doing nothing. Left foot, little toe.
Oh, this is most unusual.
You're lucky you're not a urologist. So, I believe you're secretary of the Docra Society, Mr. Pettit.
Honorary secretary. Can I put your sock well over on the other side of the room?
If you must. What's the Docra Society?
Oh, well, it's not very exciting. Not for you, anyway. We're a small group of stamp collectors. It's named after a very early pioneer of the penny post.
Well, you're right. It's not very exciting. Ow! Hey, watch it!
It's only a corn. It looks like someone's been hacking at it with a razor.
That was a wife. Yeah, that hurt, you sadist.
You had a meeting at Rankin's Holiday Ranch, Bourville-on-Sea, I believe.
Yes, that's correct. It was our AGM.
Right, hell, fuck mine, what you're doing?
We'll have to leave it for the inflammation to go down. Come back next week.
You've hope. Got a list of the morons who are at this meeting of yours?
Of course.
Well, let's be having it. And a fag while you're at it.
I don't permit cigarettes on the premises. I'm allergic to the smoke.
Sissy.
Mr. Pettit, we're looking for a middle-aged man, about 5'8", dark hair, plumpish. Would that description fit any of your members?
It might. What's he done?
Show him the photo, Sergeant.
Oh, dear God.
See? Shoes on the other foot now. Shoe, foot.
You're not suggesting that this...
It could be one of your members, yes, sir. Now, there were seven of you, all told.
Yes. Well, we can eliminate me, obviously, and Miss Hull, Miss Nora Hull, very knowledgeable about French colonials. And I don't think it could be Keith Osmond, he's young and tall, nor Mr. Roscoe, right age, but small and wiry.
Oh, that leaves three more.
And Mr. Braithwaite, too old and a beard. Gordon Valentine, no, I've got a letter from him this morning.
Instead of telling us who it isn't, tell us who it is.
Mr. Napper. Mr. George Arthur Napper. That'll be £5.20 for the treatment.
You what? You what?
Tell us about this meeting, Mr. Pettit.
At least when I hurt people, it's for a good reason.
Usually to get a confession out of them for a crime they didn't commit.
Exactly. I'd like to beat a confession out of Mr. Pettit. He was a cold fish about it all, very cold.
He did explain he'd never actually met anyone before. In fact, they were all strangers to each other before the AGM.
He had a touch of cripping about him.
Yeah. Well, our next move must be to investigate this Napper man.
Oh, I suppose so. So where does he live? John O'Groats?
Hackney. We can go there this evening.
After that, sadist, your turn, McGregor. I've got to put my feet up or I'll be crippled for life.
Oh, thanks, sir.
Yes. What do you want?
Mrs. Napper.
Yeah?
I'm from Scotland Yard. I'd like to talk to Mr. Napper.
He's not here. Here, you're very presentable for a copper. Want to come in for a copper? Copper?
Oh, thank you. Maybe not. So, Mr. Napper.
Scarpered. Done a bunk. And good riddance to bad rubbish.
Mr. Napper's gone. When?
A couple of months ago. Not that I hardly saw him, what with all his hobbies.
Doreen!
What?
Get your skates off, for God's sake. You see the time?
I'm coming! He's my lodger. Oh. But he's just passing through, if you get my drift.
Could you tell me what happened exactly?
Nothing happened exactly. Napper just cleared off one weekend and never came back. Not even a letter on the mantelpiece.
And what about his things?
What about him?
Mrs. Napper, did he take all of his belongings?
Not a one. I gave him a fortnight, then I flogged the lot. I needed the room. Besides, he told me to.
He told you to?
Years ago, when we was first married. If anything happens to me, Doreen, he says, you destroy everything. Burn all my papers, get rid of the rest. So I did.
What on earth did he say that for?
How should I know?
Did he say anything else?
No. Oh, Yeah. A few months ago, he told me he was involved in something dangerous and he might have to make a run for it and go into hiding at a moment's notice.
What was his job?
Piano tuner. It struck me as a bit odd at the time, too.
Mrs. Napper, I think you'd better brace yourself and look at this photo. You see, a body was found, and we have reason to believe
Let's
that...
Let's see. Yeah, that's him.
Are you sure? He's got no face.
Never had much of a one to start with. But I'd know that flabby body anywhere. There will be compensation for this, won't there?
No idea. You'll have to go and identify him. He's in a mortuary up north.
Oh, just so long as I get my expenses.
You're ready!
Coming! I bet you've got a nicer body, eh, Sergeant? Hope you don't want to, press charges.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Napper. You've been very cooperative. Of course, Chief Inspector Dover didn't care a jot. Especially when I told him we'd have to interview all the other people that were at the meeting, wherever they lived. He demanded that I find him a police driver to ferry us around, and then that I spend my own hard-earned wages buying him drinks and cigarettes, and meal after meal after meal after meal.
Sorry, sir, did you see something?
That wasn't me, you idiot. Ruddy woman's got a menagerie out here. Dear God, if I'm not scrabbling around rubbish dumps, I'm up to my neck in compost and pig swill. Still no sign of that flaming driver I ordered.
No, sir. Shall I go and knock on the door?
Well, since Miss Nora Hull's not expecting us, I very much doubt she's a psychic. I think that might just be an appropriate course of action.
No need to be sarcastic, sir.
Oh, mind the gulp! Stoop!
Oh, I see you met Billy then. Oh, now, come in and have some homemade parsnip wine.
I'd rather drink mud.
Yeah, that'd be very nice, madam. Still alcohol, sir.
Ah, well then.
Well, you must be the chappies from Scotland Yard. I'm Nora Hull. They're here, mavis. Come in. Oh, take those shoes off.
I get my corn bitten off by a ruddy goose, no way.
Sorry about the imbroglio, but we've had a hell of a morning with the old sow. Shoo, Goosey.
Dear God, woman, it's like Noah's Rally Ark in here. How can you live in this stench?
Coming from you, sir.
Treading a fine line, McGregor.
Oh, you get used to the pong. It's only nature. Help yourself to a ginger biscuit. They're under there.
Well, this tea cosy.
Tea cosy? That's ginger. He keeps them nice and warm.
I think I'll just have a fag.
Oh. Not in this house, you won't.
It's true.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Mavis, these are the chaps from Scotland Yard.
Oh, yes, hello. Very pleased to meet you.
Oh, don't mind if she stays, do you? Just as a chaperone.
I think you're pretty safe, madam. Sergeant, ask your questions, then we can get out of Whipsnade.
Oh, yes, sir. Miss Hull, It's about your postage stamp meeting at the Rankin Holiday Ranch a few weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
Was Mr. George Alfred Napper already there when you arrived?
He was, indeed. I was the only female present, so I got the bedroom in the bunkhouse where we had our meetings. A girl needs a bit of privacy.
Privacy, yeah.
Had you ever met Mr. Napper before?
No, and I do not like to speak ill of the dead, but I'm jolly glad I won't have to meet him again either. Now, I'm no snob, don't get me wrong. Am I, Mavis?
Oh, no, Nora, no snob.
But he was a nasty little pleb.
Nasty.
Well, I suppose you get all sorts interested in philately, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you do, indeed. Most of them are pretty decent sorts. I just don't take to yids, that's all.
I'm sorry, Miss Hull?
Nora,
Yes, Mavis and I ought really to be getting back to work. We're up to our necks in goat's cheese at the moment. Come along, Mavis.
Yes, Nora.
Chief Inspector, have you got anything else to ask?
Oh, yes. Couldn't kill me one of those chickens, could you, for the lady wife?
Did you hear what Miss Hull said, sir? That word she used?
Ah, that's better. Nothing like a good copper, eh? Word? You try this thing with a mallard duck trying to mate with your lower leg.
One thing puzzles me, sir.
One thing?
Did you notice that Miss Hull knew all about us? Where we were from, why we'd come, Napper's murder, everything. Without us having said a word.
Of course I noticed. Do you want that pastry?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Glutton.
Well, didn't it strike you as odd, sir? I didn't phone to say we were coming.
That ponchy little toe doctor. I lay you odds, he started ringing around the old ruddy bunch of them as soon as we left.
A bit suspicious, don't you think? What have they got to hide? A bunch of stamp collectors and an AGM.
Chief Inspector Dover?
Who's asking?
Me, WPC Elvira Marchmont, your new driver.
Where were you when we needed you?
Oh, I know. I'm ever so sorry. Traffic is terrible out there. I put my little blue light on, but nobody takes a blinder of notice. We might as well be an ice cream van.
Ice cream? Now, there's a thought. Waitress!
I'm Sergeant McGregor, WPC Marchman. But you can call me Charles.
Well, here we go. Not while we're on police business, you can't. Got any fags, whatever your name is?
Elvira. I'm sorry, Chief Inspector, I don't smoke.
You don't smoke them, you won't buy them.
Because you take them all.
I do not.
You do too.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I couldn't have a piece of that pastry, could I, Sergeant? I'm famished.
Oh, of course you can, WPC Elvira Marchmont. Have it all.
Afraid we ain't got time for eating. We've got a murder to solve.
Take it for the car.
I will. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome.
So, who are we going to... sorry, a bit of pastry. Who are we going to see now?
Well, Elvira...
Names, no pack drill, Sergeant. Just tell her we're going to see a suspect who lives in the back of beyond, and if he doesn't have a cigarette, I shall probably strangle him.
We're going to see a suspect who lives
just
in the back...
Just try him.
Would you like me to come in? But I used to be a secretary. I could take notes.
No, thank you, WPC.
I make the decision, Sergeant. WPC, we'll be needing lunch. There's a pub over there under the railway bridge. Just get us a selection.
A selection?
A couple of pork pies, scotch egg.
Yes, sir.
A cheese and pickle sandwich.
Oh, right.
Three ham sandwiches.
Yes.
One of them little apple tart things.
All right, sir.
And some crisps.
Rightio.
Oh, and can you get something for me, too?
Okay. Have fun.
Mr. Osmond, we know you're in there. We do know, don't we, Sergeant?
Oh, you're here then.
Oh, Mr. Osmond.
Are you a stamp collector? You don't look much like a stamp collector.
What's a stamp collector look like?
Well, I don't usually think of them with hairy chest, muscles and a moustache.
There was Miss Hull.
Yeah.
You'd better come in then. Leave the door. I like the fresh air.
Ruddy freezing in here.
Take a seat, gents. Just lift the barbells off the sofa.
McGregor?
Yes, sir.
You don't mind if I use the bike while we're talking? I missed my exercise this morning.
Go ahead, if you want to kill yourself. Don't suppose you got a fag on you? No, you wouldn't, Ruddy fitness freaks.
Matter of fact, I do. My one vice, aside from the ladies. Here.
Tar very much. Got a light?
On the table. Watch it, though. Got a bit of a kick.
Oh, dear God, why not just chuck me a blowtorch? Nearly burnt my flaming nose off.
So, you wanted to ask me about the old dock sock,
eh?
Dockra Society, sir. Mr. Osmond, how well did you know George Arthur Napper?
Never met him before in my life. Next.
Well, had there been any quarrels? Did any of you appear to be harbouring a grudge against Mr. Napper?
We none of us ever met each other. Philatelists don't bear grudges. We lick them. You're barking up the wrong tree here, lads.
Hold you, McGregor.
So on the Sunday when you all left...
Here we are, lunchtime. Sorry to bite him, but the door was open. Oh, can hardly see over this lot. Can one of you boys help me, please?
Oh, of course. It's okay. I'll lighten your load, love.
Oh, sir. Hi, that's £3.45 somebody owes me.
I hope one of those is for me.
You'll be lucky. Hey, hang on. I know you, don't I? Well, fancy seeing you here.
Oh, bloody hell.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Don't you remember me?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Once seen, never forgotten.
Look, gents, I'll be in touch later, right? Meantime, you'll have to take your picnic somewhere else. I'm expecting a visitor.
Plenty of room for everyone.
It's private.
Oh, good thing I'm broad-minded, then. Open the sandwiches, Sergeant. Use that penknife on the table.
Just leave that knife alone. Sorry, I've got to go out. Urgent appointment, just remembered.
You carry on, we'll look up for you. You can trust us, we're coppers.
All right, drop the catch on the door.
Must think we were born yesterday. Hold your horses, laddie. Cricket, block the door.
Yes, sir.
We haven't finished our little chat yet, have we, Sunshine?
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have come barging in, should I? Oh, still, you can talk and eat, can't you? I've seen you do it, Chief Inspector.
Elvira, where on earth did you meet Mr. Osmond?
Oh, it was Bravery Hall, wasn't it?
Oh,
it was last year, one of those courses on race relations or something they made you go on. Actually, it was quite fun. Oh, do you remember the things that went on in the visual aid room after supper?
Are you saying you met Mr. Osmond on a police course?
What else?
For policemen.
Oh, and us girls, too.
Are you a copper, Osmond? You stupid witness interfering cow.
Hey! Oh, I'd give you a good smack for that if you didn't...
Have a gun?
Oh, my God, so look.
Probably just another damn stupid cigarette lighter, isn't it? Oh! Or maybe not.
Okay. Now, everybody just stay seated, nice and close on the sofa, and nobody will get hurt. Yes?
Squashed to death. Oh, could you move up just a little bit, Chief Inspector?
No, I'm just going to make a phone call. No sudden moves, okay? Or the next shot won't miss.
Can't a fella even eat his lunch?
You shift one muscle. I'll let you have it right between the eyes.
You're the boss. A man that starved to death.
What's going on?
Order speak to Sven.
No, I've moved.
Sven. Sven. Of course I've got the right... Stupid. It's the Du Maurier code. Why don't you bloody look it up?
What's he talking about, son?
Not a clue. Could somebody lift that scotch egg towards my mouth?
Oh, this is a flash call. Do it now, woman. Sven, this is true. Listen, my seams are giving way.
Love.
Of course I'm sure. Don't get your perfectly calm, Sven, but I need help. Now. No, because I'm a tart, I'm a policewoman.
If you were a gentleman, you'd do something about that.
I'll be quiet, you know, okay. I've a funny feeling this chap isn't a stamp collector after all.
You reckon, sir?
Well, I suppose we can make it look like I'm being taken in for questioning. Right. Okay, get up, all of you. We're going for a ride.
Oh. I'll bring my lunch with me, if that's all the same to you.
Oh, I think he's crushed my ribs.
I'll help you up, all of you.
Thanks, Charlie. Isn't this exciting, yet somehow scary?
Okay, no funny business. And that includes your driving, sweetheart. I've got my gun. One false move and the Chief Inspector here gets it.
Struth, if you're supposed to threaten to shoot the girl first.
Yeah.
Listen, we're all on the same side here, aren't we? Can't you just calm down a bit?
It's all right for you. I'm the one who's going to finish up dead if anything goes wrong. I've been under a hell of a lot of strain lately.
You've been under strain.
Here, how did you murder squad tops come to identify Napper so quickly?
Mr. Napper managed to swallow a piece of the Rankin's funny money before he died. The pathologist found it with the venison. They don't serve venison that often at Boerville.
And bingo. So that led you to our Mr. Pettit. God, you put the wind up here. He phoned me to warn me you were coming.
Told ya. Okay, enough chit-chat. Now, Lady, why don't you tell me exactly what's going on?
Why don't you keep that fat mouth of yours shut?
Ooh.
It's all very mysterious, isn't it, sir? No idea where we are.
We're in a ruddy underground car park, aren't we? And my foot is killing me.
Do you think we've stumbled upon some sort of spy ring?
Wish we'd stumbled across a pub. Flaming girl forgot to bring any drink along with lunch.
I heard that. I've only got two pairs of hands, you know.
Button it. I want a short fuse and this gun's on a hair trigger.
Don't like him, McGregor. Even if he is one of us.
Right. Here we are. Okay, into the lift. It's made for carrying luggage, so it should just about take your weight, Chief Inspector.
Very droll.
Follow me. It's along here.
Look, sir, room numbers. That means we're in a hotel.
Excellent. Means they'll have one of those little mini bar thingies, tiny bottles, but if you mix a few together, it's not totally unrewarding.
Right. Stay here, all of you. Ladies first.
Oh, thank you. Oh, actually, I need the little girl. Oh, hey. Hey.
Okay, that's got her out of the way. She'll be desensitized separately. We're two doors down.
She had better be all right, or else. With a bit of luck, she'll forget we owe her for lunch.
You, in, now.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm Sven.
This is Detective Chief Inspector Dover, sir, and Detective Sergeant McGregor, Murder Squad.
Delighted. Do please make yourselves at home.
Gotcha! Fantastic. Can you see the bottle on
that? I did actually mean take a seat, but as you're already at the bar...
Very civil of you.
I wonder if you'd excuse Trill and myself for a couple of seconds while we have a little chat in the corner?
No, I wouldn't.
Excuse me.
You heard me. Getting sick of all this James Ruddy Bond malarkey. No. You tell us what's going on. Pronto.
Chief Inspector.
Let me handle this, McGregor. Listen, Schwinn, whatever your real name is. Look, we've been held up at gunpoint. Our murder investigation's been railroaded and our driver's been kidnapped. I'd say you've got a bit of explaining to do, Sunshine. You and your pals from Special Branch.
Special Branch?
Well, what did you think they were, catering corps?
Now, you listen here. This isn't your show,
you know. Don't you come heavy with me with all that cloak and dagger stuff. Doesn't impress me one little bit.
Oh, yeah? Well, maybe this will impress you.
Phil, put that gun away. Calm down. All right, gentlemen. I think now that you've accidentally stumbled on our little... operation. It's probably best I tell you exactly what's going on.
I think it probably is, sir. Don't mind if I eat this chocolate bar while you're chatting.
Not at all. But I hope you don't have such a big mouth when it comes to more important matters.
I'm a chief inspector in the murder squad, not some giggly little schoolgirl. Now spit it out, man.
Well, what we're dealing with is a highly dangerous group of subversives.
Subversives? They collect bloody postage stamps.
If you let me finish, Chief Inspector.
Of course. A toe doctor? A potty old goat breeder? What's the name of that fella who croaked, McGregor?
Napper.
A piano tuner? Ooh, I'm really scared.
The Docra Society is just a cover. It's a technique this bunch use a lot. All their cells function under the guise of specialist groups, pigeon fanciers, chess players. Extremely effective way of running a seditious organisation.
Well, you seem to have infiltrated them easy enough.
It was by no means easy, Chief Inspector. It took a great deal of time, energy and courage. That is why we're most anxious, nay, adamant, that the cover of young Trill here should not be blown.
Yeah. I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
We are dealing, Sergeant, with a matter of national security, which must, should there be a conflict of interest at any stage, take precedence over the investigation of a mere murder.
A mere murder?
That's okay, McGregor. So, what is it this time? Reds under the bed again?
No, not communists, as it happens.
IRA, perhaps?
It's an extreme right-wing organisation. Very extreme. Very determined. Very cunning.
Oh, you mean fascists? Oh, that's awful.
Indeed. Well, you're not talking about those right-wing nutters, the steel band mob, or armbands, rallies and union jacks.
Oh, yes. I've seen them on the...
The steel band organisation is just the tip of the iceberg. A mere propaganda exercise.
What you call a front, eh?
Quite. Now, these people vet all their newcomers ruthlessly. And those they consider have real potential are invited, as it were, to step behind the scenes. It can take years to penetrate the inner echelons, as Trill here has done so admirably.
Thank you, sir. What do they want to do, sir? This awful organization.
You may well have read their handouts. Send all the blacks home, expel the Jews, restore hanging, and repeal equal rights for women.
Terrible. Well, I'm in favour of the last two myself, actually.
But the real aim is to introduce a Nazi-style regime in this country with all that implies.
A Nazi regime?
Good God, man. Think what Hitler could have done with computers and television.
Couldn't be worse than the rubbish that's on at the moment. Still, I don't see what this has got to do with my murder. Mind if I sit on the bed
helps me think.
Please feel free.
You've got to sleep.
Not this time, laddie.
So, what did go on at the holiday ranch, Mr. Osmond?
Well, Mr. Pettit sent me an invitation about a week before, out of the blue.
And what about the others, though?
Never met them before, but I did manage to run all their names through the computer before I went. Nothing particularly remarkable about any of them.
Pettit just sent you their names?
Actually, no. We've infiltrated his chiropody practice. One of his part-time receptionists got us the list.
Anyway, nobody seemed to know what we were there for until the Saturday morning when we were all gathered in the common room in one of the bunkhouses. And then Mr. Pettit dropped his bombshell.
Gentlemen and lady, we have a traitor in our midst.
What? A traitor?
A traitor, Mr. Pettit?
And you thought it was you?
Not half. So you can imagine my relief when he said who it was.
We are here to try George Arthur Napper.
Mr. Napper?
Hey, me!
So, you all acted as judge and jury and one of your own.
Well, Pettit acted as prosecutor. Me and Mike Roscoe, wiry guy, scrap metal dealer. We were detailed to guard Napper. We had him cuffed to a tubular steel chair.
Let me go! I'm innocent, I'll tell you innocent!
But what were the charges?
George Arthur Napper, you are accused of infiltrating the steel band on behalf of an Israeli security agency.
Israeli security agency?
Hey, hang on. If he was all trussed up, how did he get his venison?
I brought it for him from the dining room.
Civil of you. I'll take it the verdict was guilty.
Guilty!
Of course. And then we realised we had another job to do.
Executioners.
You will all draw cards for the job. Jack of Hearts, executioner. King of Spades, render the body unrecognisable and dispose of it.
If you were one of those lucky cards, laddie, it's more than my career's worth to let you off scot-free.
My card didn't have a face of any sort on it.
The killing is to take place between 12 midnight and 1 in the communal room. Disposal of body at 3. No one is to observe what anyone else is doing on pain.
The whole thing went off like clockwork. Obviously. Which is why I can't tell you who killed Napper. Sorry, but that's how it was.
Well, you're a trained detective. Must have seen something, man.
I went to bed.
Bed? Ah, surely you had a peep out the ruddy window.
You've seen the layout of those huts. I couldn't have seen even if I'd wanted to. And I shared my bunkhouse with Pettit. He was right next door. Listen, I wanted to save him. Dear God, I'm not that callous. But there was absolutely no way I could do that without getting myself incriminated. And killed.
Mm.
He was guarded the whole time. And I couldn't blow my cover.
Two executioners would hardly serve anyone's purpose. Especially not this country's.
Or special branches.
So, now you have the facts, I assume you're going to leave this one to us, Chief Inspector.
You must be bloody joking.
McGregor, get that woman to stop her ruddy snivelling. I'm trying to sleep.
I'm trying to drive, sir.
They made me sit very still in a hard chair and told me I wasn't to talk to anybody.
Then you'll make some lucky man the perfect wife. You know, I can't believe that fitness freak was just skulk under his bedclothes while some poor bloke's getting croaked next door.
Osmond was in a desperate situation, sir. But, sir, don't you think you better back off? It could be dangerous.
Who for?
Well, you.
You almost sound like you care, Sergeant.
be that as it may, if we bring the steel band into it, how can we ever keep Special Branch and Osmond out?
Oh, I love steel bands. Bong, bong, bong.
Punchard!
Hey, don't you dare!
Punchard, sir? Our Punchard? The head of Murder Squad Punchard?
Exactly, and Croft Fisher.
Punchard? Isn't Croft Fisher the boss of Special Branch?
And they hate each other's guts. Have done since police college. Something to do with a woman they're both madly in love with. Not even something important.
So where does Punchard...
Use your brains, McGregor. He's not going to be swayed by some double-barreled pillar he's loathed since childhood. He'll back us all the way.
There is one person he hates more than Crawfisher, sir.
Who the hell's that?
Oh, can I say?
Yes, okay. Go on.
You, Chief Inspector.
But this time, Dover, to my great surprise, had the bit between his teeth. And even more surprisingly, Commander Punchard told the Chief Inspector to, and I quote, get out and get on with it. Which is why we found ourselves interviewing Mr. Michael Roscoe, another member of the Docra Society, or as we now knew, the Steel Band, in his scrapyard in Penzance the following day. And for once, the Chief Inspector wasn't even normal.
Okay. So where is this little fascist? I'm in a questioning mood, McGregor.
Commander Punchard did understand we could be putting an undercover special branch officer at considerable risk, didn't he, sir?
Seemed to clinch it for him, actually. Do you know what he said when I told him I was overdue for superintendent?
Pigs can fly?
No. Payment by results, Dover. You see, laddie, I nail this joker and I get another couple of hundred a year, and it's a poke in the eye for Special Branch. Oh, life is good, Sergeant. You did tell this chappie we were coming.
Oh, yes, sir. I think this must be him now, sir. Stamp collector number 4, eh? Good job he's not called Penny Black.
Why the hell should he be, fool? And who's this Weasley fella with him? Another gentleman in the jury?
Welcome to Cornish Scrap City. Mike Roscoe. I think we should move away from the crusher.
Stroke!
This is Mr. Weems. He's my solicitor.
Oh, yeah?
Retained by the Steel Band to protect Mr. Roscoe's interests.
The Steel Band? Hang on, you're actually admitting?
Oh, yes. And we admit that the meeting of the Docker Society was convened for the sole purpose of trying Arthur George Knapper for treason.
Dear God, I can feel the handcuffs twitching.
Then why did you book it in the name of the Docker
Society? The red subversives are everywhere, Sergeant. And I must remind you that subjecting a club member to an unofficial trial is not a criminal offence.
Well, executing them might just go a gnat's over the edge, though, mightn't it?
I'm happy to assure you that no such punishment was inflicted on poor Mr. Knapper by any member of the ad hoc committee. He was simply expelled and left the next day.
Mr. Roscoe, was Mr. Knapper kept under guard while his trial was taking place?
No.
No. Did he take his meals in the public dining room with the rest of you, Mr. Roscoe?
Yes.
Yes.
We have reason to believe that Mr. Knapper took lunch on that Saturday in a room in one of the huts while you stood guard.
Reason to believe, Sergeant?
I'm not at liberty to reveal my sources, sir.
Should the matter ever come to court, you may have to. Meanwhile, I should warn you that I will be able to put 6 witnesses in the box who will swear on oath that Mr. Knapper was never at any time kept under guard, nor was his liberty of movement impeded.
Now, I see where the land lies. Got a fag, laddie?
I smoked all mine in the car.
I review, gents.
I may work with scrap, but I don't want my body ending up that way.
Come on, McGregor. We're not going to get any more out of this bunch of nutters. I want you to look at my foot again.
Oh.
I don't think that seawater did anything for it.
Sergeant, I wonder whether I might prevail upon you.
Prevail?
For a lift. You are going to see Mr. Frederick Braithwaite next, aren't you?
What?
I don't drive. It would mean finding a taxi.
Well, I'm sure there's one under that pile of metal somewhere. Just keep digging. Come on, McGregor. Rowdy cheek. Who's this Frederick? Oh, yeah. Number one of them.
Doesn't it strike you as odd, sir, that the Steel Band suddenly seems to know every move we make? How did they hear we were no longer swallowing the stamp collecting stone?
Not suggesting Special Branch spilled the beans, are you? Why would they do that? A little test for you, Sergeant.
Well, it would put a very neat spoke in our wheel. And with a whole bunch of Steel Banders telling the same story, we're going to be up against a brick wall.
And that would help Special Branch how?
Well, to ensure Osmond remains the Steel Band's blue-eyed boy. He'd have to let on somehow, without incriminating himself, obviously, that we'd found out about the trial, and then he pre-warns them to make himself look good in the process. Very clever.
Not bad, laddie.
Thank you, sir.
For you.
However, our investigation into the other members of the Dokra Society Court of Justice yielded little more in the way of definitive evidence. We interviewed Mr. Braithwaite in his bowling alley in Norwich.
Mindless violence is simply not the steel band's way of doing things, Chief Inspector. Even if it is done to someone of the Hebrew persuasion.
And, of course, Mr. Weems was there too.
Mr. Nabba's death, so soon after this little mock trial, was simply an unfortunate coincidence.
And at our final suspect's place of work, the Chief Inspector got no evidence, and not much else besides.
I don't suppose you've got a fag on you, Mr. Valentine.
I'm highly averse to tobacco, Chief Inspector. And anyway, this is a swimming pool, and I am the lifeguard.
Mr. Weems?
This complete and utter failure to find out who murdered Napper did not make the Chief Inspector any happier. And no need to guess who he took it out on.
What are you doing just sitting there, laddie? Get on a case. Still none the wiser which one of them bloody did it.
Well, if a highly trained copper like Alderman can't work out who the murderer is...
You suggest he's better equipped than me, Sergeant?
Perish the thought, sir.
We're at a dead end, McGregor. Along with my promotion. I'll blame you. Wait, will you stop shuffling that bloody paper?
Sorry, sir. It's just a pile of stuff that came in while we've been away.
I don't suppose there's anything on Napper. Like a suicide note, huh?
Just the post-mortem report. Nothing we don't know. Oh, and here's a response at long last from the Central Fingerprint Bureau. Well, it only confirms what we've already deduced, sir. Napper had no previous criminal record.
Surprise, surprise. Well, I must have been.
That's only 2:30, sir.
I'm sure there's some point you're making. Damned if I can fathom it. You carry on, Sergeant.
And I thought that was that. He was back to being the old Dover. Until 3:00 the following morning.
I'm coming! I'm coming!
Oh, who the hell?
Took your flaming time about it.
What are you doing here, sir? I've never seen you before 9 a.m. in my life.
Woke up, couldn't get back to sleep.
You shouldn't have started so early. I take it this isn't a social call.
No, but don't let that stop you putting a kettle on.
Would you like a biscuit, sir? Silly question. Why exactly have you...
Listen, who deduced Napper had no previous?
Well, we did, sir.
Not me, mate.
Well, there'd be no attempt to destroy his fingerprints, only his face.
So?
Well, Osman told us that whoever got the job of disposing of the body was supposed to make sure it was unrecognisable. That's why the head and the face were burned and the teeth...
So why didn't he chop his fingers off and bury him?
I don't quite follow, sir.
It just doesn't make sense. The murderer doesn't bother destroying Napper's prints because he knows there'll be no help to us in tracing Napper, right?
I think so, sir.
But how does he know that?
I'm sorry, sir, you've lost me. Oh. You mean...
Exactly. There's only one bloke who could have checked a thing like that and found Napper had no record and even admitted doing that very thing.
Osmond. Of course. Only a copper could have run those sort of checks. And Osmond had managed to get the guest list beforehand from the Coropodist's office. Nobody else did. He probably runs a check on any steel banders he comes across so special brands can build up their files.
So Osmond knew he didn't have to cut Napper's fingers off. Ah! It had to be him who killed him. Don't just stand there with your mouth open, Mally. Make the tea.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Then there's a petrol.
Petrol, sir?
Now, keep up, man. The lighter fuel poured over the Mr. K's head. Osman's the only one of that miserable shower who smokes.
And he's got a pocket lighter with a flame like a bonfire. So Pettit must have given him both jobs. Killing and disposal. Because he knew he could do it. And Osman had to go along with it. Otherwise, he'd compromise his undercover role. But murder, dear Lord.
Or just maybe, Sergeant, they'd rumbled him like they rumbled Napper.
So they set Osmond up to do the dirty work.
Now he's theirs like a fish on the hook. Anyway, who cares? We've got him, laddie. Pass me that phone.
Here, Charlie. Come back to bed.
I'll be right with you, Elvira. Sorry, sir.
Now, laddie, saps your brain, you know. That's why mine's sharp as a tack. Put it all down to Mrs. Dover and her long flannel nighties.
You may think that was that. But Commander Punchard came to the conclusion that whilst revenge is sweet, knowledge is money in the bank. So the whole thing was hushed up. Osmond was sent to join the Canadian Mounties. Punchard got an OBE. And as for Dover... Good morning, Chief Inspector.
Detective Superintendent, if you don't mind, laddie.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I keep forgetting.
I shall be in my private office.
He's even more insufferable than ever. So please, don't make me have to write application for transfer number 295.
Perfect, McGregor.
Coming, sir.
In Dover Beats the Band by Joyce Porter, Chief Inspector Dover was played by Kenneth Cranham, Sergeant McGregor, Stuart Macquarie, Dr. Hurst and Nora Hull, Joanna Tope, Captain Maguire and Sven, Michael McKenzie, Sir Egbert Rankin and Rupert Pettit, Finlay MacLean, Sandra and Doreen Napper, Lucy Patterson, Inspector Telford and Osmond, Nick Underwood, and Mavis and Elvira by Samantha Young. Dover Beats the Band was dramatized for radio by Paul Mendelssohn and directed by David Ian Neville.